What's going on, guys? All right, welcome to episode 64 of the Armchair Fantasy Show. I'm your host, of course, Jeff Lambert. You can always follow me on Twitter at JeffLambert77. We're presented, as always, by Talk Loud Radio, coming at you live every Tuesday and Friday nights on Facebook Live, Periscope, YouTube, Twitch. I mean, you name it, we're live somewhere. This will be actually be our last show of the year. We're actually going to take a break for the holiday season, and then we're going to come back in 2019 to start our dynasty version of the show, where we're going to kind of review college players and everything else, which I know Ryan, my co-host, is really big into that stuff. Speaking of Ryan, how you doing tonight, man?
Good, man. Like you said, it's draft season now. I mean, I have a couple championships, but it's time to start watching the film, get ready for a dynasty show.
Definitely.
Really psyched for it. I put out my top 10 receivers today and got some people a little bit riled up.
Nice. With the college players, I know you're really big into it and all. This is kind of like my exciting season as well, because I'm getting, I'm fairly new to Dynasty. I've only been doing it for probably three or four years. How long have you been in Dynasty? I mean, you've been doing it for a lot longer than I have.
No, I've been doing it about as long, but I was real, real into college football. Like, I've always watched a ton of college football. I probably watched the least this year I ever have, because I was really disgusted about Florida State. But I've always been a huge college fan, so I followed everything pretty close. So Dynasty is just, once I got into that, I don't even really care about redrafts much anymore.
Nice. Yeah, I love Dynasty now that I'm into it, and I've been getting more into the college players, because I don't watch college much at all. I rely on guys like you to kind of give me an idea of who I need to draft and just kind of watch things towards the end of the right before the draft starts. So I'm not a huge, college football guy, but I do love Dynasty, and I love this time of the season when it's off season and we can talk about some players that are coming into the league next year and get excited.
Dude, wait till you get into IDP Dynasty and really go freaking crazy. It's a blast.
Good stuff. All right, well, we got a big show to get to today. We're actually going to do our news and notes in the first half of the show, and then we're going to do some fantasy awards after the break. We'll go ahead and kick it off here with the news and notes. And the first one I got on here is Derrick Henry. He had that huge game 2 weeks ago. People kind of doubted him a little bit. And he came out this past week and got a ton of usage once again. Was very, very fantasy viable. Is he startable the rest of the season, you think? If you're for the championship game, are you starting him in your championships?
I don't have any shares of him, but who they have? I'm trying to find their schedule this week. I feel like we should apologize for last week because we said to bench him.
Yeah, we did.
I didn't think it was something that would happen. He's a big guy. He runs well, but the carries have been so inconsistent. Now they decided to feed him out of nowhere. Yep. I don't trust it, but I mean, if you have him and everybody, the way the injuries are going, you might have to try him.
Yeah,
but the Redskins do have pretty good defense.
Yeah, they've been struggling a little bit towards the end of the season. They were really good early on, but they've been struggling a little bit towards the end here.
Yeah, they've lost a lot of players.
Yeah,
I mean, with a lot of matchups and injuries, you probably have to start them.
Yeah, I agree. I think that there's tons of injuries right now, and Derrick Henry's been good. I mean, you can't deny it. So I think that if you own him, I think you start him this week in your championship game. Agreed, 100%.
I think he moved up from running back 36 to, I want to say, 18 or 16.
Yeah, it's crazy how much he jumped up.
In 2 weeks, yeah.
It's crazy how much he jumped up.
Yeah, guess you'd have stardom.
Agreed. All right, so the next injury front note we got here actually is from the same team. We got three injuries for the Chargers. Of course, Melvin Gordon's been out for a couple weeks. Eckler missed last week with concussion, and Allen played the first quarter, I believe, and then he was out. What do you think of these three guys? You think any of them play, and do you trust any of them for your championship game?
Personally, I hope they don't, but I don't like the matchup. The Ravens' defense has been locked down. They made Tampa just disappear this week, and they've done really well against the run in the past. If Gordon plays, you have to start him. I don't think I'd feel comfortable with Eckler if he was playing, and Gordon wasn't. And if Gordon is playing, absolutely not. And Keenan Allen, he's another guy. If he's healthy, you got to start him. They still give him volume. He's in a bad matchup, but you're not going to have much better than him, and they feed him.
Yep. Yeah, I agree. I think if you have him, you start him. I think Eckler is the one that I'm probably not starting, even if he does get cleared beforehand. I just think that with Melvin Gordon back and Eckler having that concussion protocol and them pretty much I mean, they have a chance, I guess, at moving up in the playoff race, but they're pretty much locked in. They can just kind of stay healthy and get to the playoffs. I think they'll be good. Before we go on to the next one here, we do have a question on Facebook from, looks like his name is T-Bone Smith. I'm guessing that's not his real name, but
I hope it is, man. That'd be awesome.
That would be an awesome name. He's asking Diggs or Robbie Anderson in a PPR.
Diggs or Robbie? Diggs. I mean, Detroit's not that great on defense, and Darius Slay has been 100%. I'm playing Diggs. He's a talented guy. He's the most talented guy out of it, and he's more consistent with volume. Robbie Anderson's a 3 to 7 catch guy and just relies on the big play.
Yeah, agreed 100%. I think that, I think this question is being asked because, you know, Diggs has been sort of hit or miss lately. But I think with that offense, I think that you just got to bet on the upside there with Diggs. And I think with his volume, he's got the higher floor as well. Anderson could go out there and get you zero, where I don't think Diggs could really get you a zero. I mean, it could potentially happen, but I just don't see it happening.
Yeah. Anderson will get either like zero or 26.
Right. Exactly.
Like, he's super inconsistent, but I like him, but definitely Diggs in that matchup.
Agreed. All right. Let's see what our next note is.
Real quick. Side note with the Chargers. I don't trust Mike Williams this week.
Even if Keenan Allen's out?
No, I don't trust him at all. He's going to be matched up against Marlon Humphrey, a good chance. He's been just locked down. He made Chris Godwin just disappear last week. And I think it'd be some of the same. And they faced each other back in college, and he was a non-factor as well. So it's a bad matchup for him.
Gotcha.
They got corners as big as he is.
Gotcha. All right, guys. We kind of lost connection there for a little bit, but we are back now. Sorry. I hope you didn't miss anything. We didn't really go over too much. We talked about a little bit about Mike Williams. Ryan's not a fan of Mike Williams this week, no matter if Keenan Allen starts or not. We also talked about Stephon Diggs or Robbie Anderson. Question on Facebook. We both picked Diggs. So I apologize for disconnecting, but we are back now. Hopefully we can continue the show the rest of the way and not lose any more connection.
Yeah.
All right. Next one up, we've got Kellen Ballage with the Frank Gore injury. Looks like he's probably going to miss the rest of the season. Maybe it's the last time we've seen Frank Gore on a football field. But Kellen Ballage came in, didn't do much that first half, came out the second half and had that huge run, and then looks pretty decent the rest of the way out. What do you think about him this week?
He's another guy. He's a high variance guy. I'm not trusting him if I don't have to. I don't think he'd be in the very position to play him. But he's not that. He what? How long was that run he had?
75 yards.
So out of his carries, he had what? 100? Some, I don't know. He had 123. 75 of it was on one carry. So we're talking 11 carries for 53 yards. Other than that, he just found a hole and was fast.
Yep.
I'm not trusting him on that.
Yep.
And I wouldn't start him. I want to know why they hate Kenyon Drake.
Yeah.
Is the real question of the Miami Dolphins. Yeah, is why they hate Kenyon Drake, who's actually good.
He's very efficient, and they just don't want to give him the ball. I think maybe he's been hurt a little bit. They're trying to protect him, but at this point, just play him. I think I agree with you. I think if Kellen Ballage was on a roster before this past week, I would be very surprised. It must be a very deep league. You probably got him off waiver wire. Chances are, if you're in the championship game this week, you don't need him. Maybe pick him up if your opponent has some issues with injuries or something to keep him from, you know, having him. If you've got room on your bench with this, you know, being the last week of the season. But I'm not starting him in any of my leagues. The only league I could possibly start him in is actually I got a ton of injuries. And it's a league that I went zero RB in. And I got like Devontae Adams and DeAndre Hopkins in that league. And I think I'm starting Jamal Williams and Marlon Mack this week. So if I had Kellen Ballage, yeah, I may actually have to start him in my flex position. But hopefully get the win in that one. I actually went 12-1 in that league. I'm starting to believe in this zero RB strategy because it's the only league that I made the championship in, and it's the only one I went zero RB in. So go figure.
I went RB, RB, and RB wide receiver in my two championship teams.
Nice.
Yeah. No, wide receiver RB and RB RB.
And RB RB. Yeah, that's the consensus, and that's what I really did in most of my leagues. This was a pay league, but it wasn't one of the big money pay leagues. I think it was like a $20 entry fee, 14 teams, and I just decided I wanted to go. The way the draft fell, it just made more sense for me to go receivers where everybody was at. So I got, like I said, Devontae Adams and DeAndre Hopkins were my first two picks. So they've been pretty good. And then I got Marlon Mack kind of late in the draft, and he's been money lately too, so he's been getting me some good stuff. But yeah, I went 12-1 in that league and hopefully get the championship.
Yeah, nice. Next up, we got Leonard Fournette's low usage.
Yeah, this one kind of surprised me a little bit because they did kind of come out and say in the news that they were trying to get some of the younger guys involved in there, which, you know, didn't make a whole lot of sense to me, and why they were kind of saving Fournette for what. I mean, it's the end of the season. I guess maybe they don't want to get him injured. It didn't make a whole lot of sense why he didn't get the usage against the Redskins, and if I own him in any of my leagues for championship game, I'm kind of scared to start him. You are basically relying on his volume to be relevant, and if he's not getting that volume, he's not going to be a good fantasy option.
No. That team gave up, man.
Yep.
Like, they literally just quit. I've never seen that happen before.
Yeah, I think it was Adam Schefter or Mike Clay tweeted out during the game that it was like a close game, 2 minutes and something to go, and they were punting. It's like, at that point, you just got to try to come back and win. But yeah, they just kind of gave up this year.
I mean, your 49ers should have been doing that kind of stuff. But
Yeah, we should have been giving up. But for some reason, we've played inspired ball the past 2 weeks to ruin our draft position. But we beat our rival. I can't knock us for that. We beat Seattle. I hate Seattle. We had lost 10 straight to Seattle, and we kind of ruined their hopes for playoffs, or at least put a little bit of a kink in it. Yeah, we had lost 10, literally 10 straight. The last time we had won was we went to the championship game in 2013, I believe. So to finally beat them, it was nice.
I believe it. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on Fournette?
I mean, I like the matchup. I'd probably still start him just because I'm probably a little bit too stubborn. But he's so good, man. If he's in there, they give him the volume.
Yep.
But if I have a better option on a really good matchup, I would. But I can only think of maybe 15 guys off the top of my head who I'd probably start over him.
Yeah, my thing is with Fournette, you probably already had an option that you were using because he'd been out for so long. As long as that person wasn't TJ Yeldon or Carlos Hyde, I think you still have that option on your bench. You could go with that option. But, yeah, so I don't know. It's a risky situation, especially when the coaches come out and say that they're trying to limit his snaps and get the young guys involved, and it just made no sense to me at all.
I traded him in my Dynasty League right after his one big game.
Nice.
For pretty good, him and Cooks for Connor, Bell, first round pick. Dude got mad on Sunday after the game, traded for Cooper Kupp. I was like, man, why didn't you just call me up? I would have gave you way more than Cooper Kupp to get him back in Dynasty. It blew my mind that you trade that much for a guy and then just sell him for nothing.
Just sell him for nothing. That's crazy.
So, I was mad. I didn't want him anymore.
All right.
Hopefully he's not listening.
Yeah, exactly. The next one I got on my list here is Dak Prescott and Amari Cooper kind of fall back to earth. And what we thought was a good matchup with the Colts, they just came out and laid a dud. They, you know, didn't put up any real life points and were very bad in fantasy as well. Are you trusting any of these two guys in your championship game this week?
Cooper, yes. Dak, probably not. I mean, Amari's got – he's been good since he's been there, man. He's their number one receiver. He's their first legit number one receiver, and he gets fed, and he's made plays. And Tampa's defense is Swiss cheese.
Yeah.
Like, anybody can throw on Tampa. So I take back what I said. I'd probably start Dak if I was a streaming quarterbacks or I didn't have a great matchup. If I had someone like Phillip Rivers, I'd start Dak.
Yeah, I think Dak is on the radar only because of guys that, like, Cam Newton just got ruled out for the rest of the season. So if you can't own Cam Newton, you probably were looking for options already after this past week when he looked terrible. But
Wentz.
Wentz has got ruled out as well. So a couple of big-name quarterbacks that won't be finishing out the season. Aaron Rodgers hasn't gotten ruled out. I think he's going to play, but he didn't look very good in the past couple of weeks, and he's injured as well. So he could go out there and play the first quarter, and if he's not feeling good, they can pull him out. So I'd be kind of worried if I was a Rodgers owner as well. Dak Prescott seemed a little bit safer with a great matchup.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I definitely would. Aaron Rodgers did practice, though.
Yeah, he did. And I think they said that he's going to play this week. I would be worried with that back injury that he would go out there, you know, not feel good or take one big hit and they pull him out of the game because they're not playing for anything right now anyway.
No, their season's basically over. I'd shut them down, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yep, agreed. And a comment here from one of our Twitch listeners says that Dak loves to play in Jerry World, so they are. I believe they are at home this week, so that can definitely change things for sure.
Yeah, them against Tampa, it's a great matchup.
Yep, great matchup. Agreed. All right, what's the next one on the list we got there?
Yeah, we have Tyler Boyd's injury.
Yeah, I haven't heard. Was he put on IR? Because I haven't heard officially that he'd been ruled out.
I thought I heard that he was. I know we're not playing him this week if it's that close.
But, yeah, agreed.
But that team's in bad shape, man.
Yeah, they are. They've had some crazy injuries. And Boyd, unfortunately, Boyd is probably one of the reasons why you may be in your championship game to begin with, because he's had such a great season. You probably drafted him for nothing or got him off waivers, and he's been pretty good for most of the season. I know he had that little bit of a lull when AJ Green got hurt, but he's been a pretty good volume receiver for you all season, so not having him is going to hurt a little bit.
Yeah, you lost it.
My back?
The connection went out.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right. Oh, yeah. It's.
Yeah, he's – I'm trying to find his injury. But yeah, Boyd's been – with him out, that hurts. You have to find other options right now, especially like flex-worthy ones.
Yeah, we got lost again. I'm waiting for the connection to come back on here. The last three times we've been good, and then of course tonight it's going to want to be doing this.
Yeah, that's crazy.
It's killing me. All right, yeah. We are back once again. I don't know what's going on with my internet tonight, but we keep getting disconnected. Hopefully, we can finish the show out here. Let's go ahead.
Snowstorms, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I don't know what's going on here. It's killing me. All right, let's go ahead and talk about the next guy on our list here. We got Aaron Jones being put on IR. Basically gives Jamal Williams the backfield to himself. Are you playing Jamal Williams this week?
Real quick, we kind of lied. Tyler Boyd's actually said at 5:30 today that he was good to play.
Oh, wow.
I don't really trust it. If he was that beat up where he wasn't, and he's going to pull Denzel Ward, so I probably still don't want to play him. But he's going to be out there.
Yep. I think if you have to start him, maybe you put him in there. But if you don't have to, if you got better options, go somewhere else with that. Because, yeah, it's a tough matchup with Denzel Ward.
Yeah.
And T-Bone Smith is still with us on Facebook, even though we keep losing connection, man. I hope that we can finish the show up without losing connection again.
Appreciate it, T-Bone.
All right, let's talk about Aaron Jones to the IR. Does that make Jamal Williams viable? I mean, I know he had the backfield to himself early in the season. He wasn't really that great with it.
Yeah, but I think.
Go ahead.
I think it does, especially if like Aaron Rodgers is a little beat up and they need something to protect them. I could see him getting 15, 20 touches. And with everybody and their mother being hurt, I think he's worth a start. And I can't wait to see Aaron Jones' Twitter go crazy when Jamal Williams starts winning people championships this week.
I think your side's kind of messing up now. We lost connection on you. You're frozen over there. Huh? I think we're still alive, but you're frozen on your end.
All right.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jamal Williams is viable. I'm hoping that I don't have to start him, honestly. I hope that I have better options at this point. But with the volume that he's probably going to get, especially if Aaron Rodgers is hurt, and they try to limit his, you know, his attempts, they may hand the ball off a lot more. Jamal Williams going up against the Jets defense, which isn't a very good defense. I think that he's definitely viable, but I'm hoping at this point that I've got better options to play.
It's winning people championships this week.
Yep.
Mark it down. And now we got Cam Newton's beat up, and Christian McCaffrey has now thrown more touchdown passes over the last week than Cam Newton has.
don't rub it in, man. Cam Newton killed my dynasty league. Unfortunately, if I had started Josh Allen over Cam Newton, I'd still be in the championship game in my dynasty league. Unfortunately, it just did not pan out for me. I lost by 10 points thanks to Cam Newton's 4. But going back to Cam Newton, I think he has been ruled out for the rest of the season already. So obviously if you're a Cam Newton owner, you're looking for other options. You probably were already after what you saw last week. Hopefully there's some good options out there for you. Dak Prescott, if he's out there for some reason, he'd be a good streamer. I think if Josh Allen happens to be in your waiver wire, he's probably a good streamer as well. I don't know who else is out there right now off the top of my head, but those would be some guys I would be looking at.
Dude, people hate picking up Josh Allen. I think he was still at before I realized we weren't doing waivers article this week. As of Tuesday, he was still at 33% ownership on ESPN.
Wow.
So he's still available everywhere. Nobody cares that he's just dropping points every week.
Yeah, I'm actually in the midst of a bold prediction piece I'm doing for fantasypros.com that I'm going to give 8 really bold predictions for the next football season, for next year for fantasy. And one of my bold predictions, I'll go ahead and give it away, is Josh Allen is a top 12 QB next year. And that's solely based on his rushing yards. Because, I mean, he had at one point, I think weeks 12 through 14, so 3 weeks, he was the second leading rusher in the NFL. Not for quarterbacks, total for the NFL. It was Saquon Barkley, and then Josh Allen was number 2. So that's a pretty crazy stat. And if he can do that next year with some hopefully better options or better talent around him, I think he can be a top 12 QB next year.
I mean, yeah, and then hopefully they actually are smart and take a receiver top 10 this year.
Yeah.
So they're sitting there, there's a ton of great options available.
Definitely is.
So get him somebody big and fast to throw to. And the way Robert Foster's playing, that's not a bad little combo to start.
Yep. And actually, I'm happy to say that I got that combo in my Dynasty League. And I'm starting it this week in the consolation game for the third place. So I got Josh Allen and Robert Foster in my lineup this week. Can't start Cam. So let's see, a couple of questions on Facebook here. Let's see what we got. T-Bone Smith again is asking about defenses. Cleveland Browns or the Miami defense? So Miami has the Jaguars, and the Browns have the Bengals. Who are you going with in that matchup?
Oh, God. Those are both fantastic.
Both of them are at home, too. They're at their own place.
Browns. I'm going the Browns. I think they're more talented defense, and they get a ton of sacks.
Yep.
And we're talking Driscoll's back there, man.
Yep. Yeah, I think Cleveland at one point, I haven't looked it up in a while, but I know at one point a few weeks ago, they were like leading the NFL in turnovers. So I think that you have that ability and you have Jeff Driscoll back there. I think that it's a viable situation where you might have a pick six or something, or even a couple fumble recoveries. So
yeah, we're talking Driscoll beat up A.J. Green, or out A.J. Green, beat up Tyler Boyd. They're on their third string tight end, fourth string tight end now.
Yeah, yep.
All they have is Joe Mixon.
Yep, agreed. I think
Mixon will get his because, you know, he's the man.
Yep.
But, yeah, I'd start Cleveland on that. They should have their way. And yep. they want to make a statement coming next year, for sure.
Agreed. I think something's wrong with your bike that you're cutting in and out. Sounds like you're not plugged in all the way or something. We're having all kinds of difficulties tonight. While you're doing that, I'll go ahead and ask you the other question that's on here from Facebook as well. Any possibility that the Panthers limit Christian McCaffrey's touches with it being basically a lost season, not wanting to get him hurt? You think he gets limited at all?
Ooh, I hope not. I don't know if I don't think they will, because they didn't seem to slow him down last week. But oh man, I'd keep an eye on it, because I'm sure there'll be some sort of statement and practice notes about it, but. Man, I hope not.
Yeah, I would keep an eye on it. I would definitely, if you're on Twitter, follow some of the beat writers, because they usually kind of got an idea of what's going on there. If they start seeing like Cameron Artis Payne getting first rep snaps or, you know, something to that effect, and there's some scuttlebutt about that, I'd be kind of worried about Christian McCaffrey not getting a full workload, because you're right, the season's lost. Why risk him at this point? I'm on the opposite side of that fence, Ryan. I know you want him to play because you got him in your championship game. I want him to sit out.
You'll see me crying on Twitter.
He's on my dynasty team, and I'm already out of the playoffs. So I just sit down, don't get hurt, be ready for next year. So let's hope he doesn't play.
Well, yeah, I have him and the next guy we have to talk about, perfect transition, OBJ. I need both of them to play, man.
Oh, yeah. He definitely would need OBJ for sure. I mean, now he's been out, what, is it 2 weeks now, or is he just out the 1 week?
2 weeks, yeah.
2 weeks.
And
word on him? Have you heard anything on him yet?
No, and I'm starting to get nervous. They said earlier in the week they were feeling good about it, but I'm real nervous about it.
Yeah, I agreed. I hope they come out and say that he is going to be in or out. And then, of course, you always worry about if he's in, is he going to be fully healthy? Are they going to limit him at all? So that's a tough situation. I think if he's playing, you got to start him, obviously. But
he's so good.
Yeah, he is really so good. And I just think that if he plays, you got to start him. But the Giants aren't playing for anything either, so who knows what they do with him.
They Graham Barfield posted a stat about him today. like the Giants scoring with and without him. The Giants average a full touchdown more a game with him on the field.
Wow.
Every other skill, the next closest skill position player in Pro Football Focus history for when they've tracked that stat was Gronk with 5.
Wow.
And the most is Aaron Rodgers with 12. So OBJ's huge to that offense. I think if they're gonna try to play him if they can.
Yep, agreed. All right, these next two will kind of group together because they're kind of in the same mold here that they've been kind of off of them lately because they've been kind of not playing so great. Two quarterbacks, Jared Goff, Drew Brees. Obviously, you're probably starting both of these guys. But what do you think's wrong with these two guys? They've now had both two bad back-to-back weeks, probably killed some playoff hopes for some teams. I think the Saints, who do the Saints have this week? The Saints got Pittsburgh.
Saints have Steelers.
Yeah, they're playing the Steelers. And where is the Rams? I can't seem to find the Rams anywhere. Oh, Rams have got Cardinals. So what do you think of those two quarterbacks?
They both should be good to go, man. I mean, the Steelers are hot and cold, but on the road, Saints are at home, man. In the friendly confines, they're playing for something. That home field is all up for grabs now. I think Breeze is Drew Breeze this week.
I agree. I think Breeze's sort of road struggles has been sort of documented. I think this year we kind of bunked that trend a little bit, but we saw that a little bit last week that, you know, division game on the road, you know, and they're playing for their playoff lives. I think that we kind of saw Drew Breeze struggle a little bit, but he's going home against the Pittsburgh Steelers in what should be a shootout. Drew Breeze is definitely all systems go for me. Another question.
I need to see on StatRoute what the numbers are for Goff in like bad weather games, because that's just hurt. But Arizona should be warm and fine, but man, he just crumbles in that cold.
Yeah, he does. He's been bad on the road all year. Other than that Saints game, is I think it's the only game that he actually had more than 30 points, or maybe even like more than 20 points all season, is that Saints game where he had, you know, obviously a monster game. All right, a couple questions on Facebook again. This one's from Jason on Facebook. We need two of these guys, Mac, Carson, or Cook. Those are some great options there. Which one do you like out of those three guys? Pick two of those guys, Mac, Carson, or Cook.
I love Dalvin Cook now. He's healthy. He's a stud running back. He's probably going to be a first-round draft pick for me next year. But I'm playing him against the Lions. They're not good. And then Mac and...
And Carson.
I'll probably go Mac. I think the Colts have a better chance of being a positive game script against the Giants than Seattle against Kansas City, who could be playing from behind, which might limit Carson's touches.
Yeah,
so I think Mac on that.
Yeah, I think we saw last week that the Seattle Seahawks are still using Mike Davis in quite a bit of passing situations. I think you'd be worried about them sort of limiting him a little bit. I think Mac still gets the bulk of the carries there. Obviously, Dalvin Cook is the number one there. I'm thinking Dalvin Cook will go. That run that he had this past week was ridiculous, where he had that spin move and took it to the house. That was just, you just knew he was healthy at that point.
It was absurd, man. That was like back in college watching him.
Yeah, it was awesome.
I got real excited watching that play.
It was good to see him finally get his points that way. All right, let's get back on track here. The next one I got, we still don't know which one of these two guys is going to play. If, let's just say, James Conner is back. Obviously, James Conner is in play, but what about Samuels? Do you think he's earned any role in this offense to be viable this week if Conner's is in?
I don't think Conner's in. He made a comment about getting the Pro Bowl, how it was nice, but he really wanted to play this week, and he doesn't think he's there yet.
Fair enough.
So I'm leaning Samuel. I see if I find the quote. But, yeah, he's Conner, I think, is still going to be out. And Samuel still got, what, a 70% market share this week?
Yep.
So I'd feel good playing him, especially with his receiving ability against the Saints, because Steelers are going to have to do some dump offs.
Yep, agreed. I think that's why I like him a lot more. If he was more of a, you know, sort of a ground and pound sort of guy, wasn't involved in the passing game, I'd be a little bit leery because the Saints defense is very good against the run. But the fact that he is involved in the passing game, I mean, he played, what, tight end in college a little bit, so I think the receiving ability is there. I think that they're going to need that receiving ability against the Saints, and I think that he's definitely a good play this week.
Yeah. Ed Boucher, the beat writer for the Steelers, said James Conner made his first Pro Bowl, but don't look for him to play Sunday for the Steelers in New Orleans. The high ankle sprain is going to take more time to heal.
All right. Fair enough. All right. Let's see. A couple more struggling quarterbacks. We got Russell Wilson and Marcus Mariota. Mariota, actually, I think, is dealing with an injury. Russell Wilson has been, you know, he hasn't been Russell Wilson. He's been winning games, but he hasn't been, you know, the fantasy stud that you drafted in the beginning of the season. If you've got a better option, or at least an equal option, are you benching Russell Wilson for anything?
I don't know how much better options he'd have, but I like his matchup this week. He's gonna have to throw the ball against Kansas City. There's no way the defense holds him in check.
Let me give you this one, because this is actually one that I have in my league, and I already know which way I'm going, but I got Russell Wilson, and I got Andrew Luck.
Oh, Andrew Luck.
Andrew Luck, yep, against the Giants, I agree.
Andrew Luck's stone-cold stud this year, man.
Yep, and
it's so awesome seeing him back.
I drafted him in literally all my redraft leagues. I was the one getting him super late. Everyone was scared to play him or scared to draft him. I was taking him everywhere. I was like, this guy's going to be healthy. He's going to be good. And I'm getting them for super cheap. So, yeah, I definitely have Andrew Luck pretty much everywhere.
Sounds good. My home this year.
Yeah. All right.
Last, championship teams.
Yeah. Last one I got on here is we talked about Rodgers already. Let's talk about a tight end. Jordan Reed. Obviously, he's not had a very good fantasy season anyway. But any interest if he's out there, and if he's not, Vernon Davis?
I mean, I guess if you're streaming, I mean, it's so bad. You just throw five darts at the dartboard at once, and whatever one hits the closest.
Yep.
But are we at the point now where Jordan Reed's spent? Like,
I think so. I don't know if it's the offense that he's in. I don't know if he's healthy. I don't know what it is. If it's the quarterback situation, but he just doesn't look like himself and hasn't been playing up to any kind of, you know, ability that he's had lately.
I'd feel more comfortable with Vernon Davis, and he's, what, 40?
Yeah.
35? Like, nah, I think Reed's done.
Yep, I agree. I'm not playing Reed for anything. I think if he's in there, you probably, I mean, at this point in the season, tight ends are just crap anyway.
I'd rather take a chance with like Chris Herndon or somebody.
Yeah, getting that touchdown upside. Cause I think he's got one touchdown all year, I believe. Jordan Reed does. And that was caught by Colt McCoy. So now his quarterback is Josh Johnson. So who knows what that's going to look like.
Well, it took him about 12 teams to get his first win.
Yeah. All right, take a quick commercial break, guys. When we come back, we're going to give out some fantasy awards for the first half of the season, so just hang tight.
Fantasy football, it's not just a social interaction anymore. Today's manager plays to win, and the difference between winning and losing is so small, a manager will do whatever it takes to get an edge. Yet the other sites offer the same content at an extremely high cost. It's time to get away from the old and step into the future of fantasy stats. This is StatRoute. StatRoute allows you to find any data set for any player or team in 7 seconds or less, all on a simple, easy-to-use application. Want to see which running back performed best in the snow last season? How about the past 5 seasons? And in the fourth quarter? Or maybe you're unsure of which quarterback to start for the upcoming week. With our StatsIP technology, you can now quickly see how Matt Stafford has performed in the rain, during the second half of the season in New York, compared with how Russell Wilson has played during primetime games at home versus the Rams' new defensive coordinator, Wade Phillips. At StatRoute, it's our mission to deliver state-of-the-art technology guaranteed to keep you ahead of the curve. So, whether you're a casual football fan, a weekly fantasy trash talker, or a DFS hustler, we've got you covered. Welcome to the new standard for stats delivery. We are StatRoute. Take back your lead.
All right, guys, welcome back. As always, after the show is done, I will post this to all your podcast networks, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music. And luckily, those ones do not have connection issues. You will be able to hear the show in full because I have a system recording in the background, so there won't be any cutoffs like there is on the live show. And also, of course, we're streaming in the Going For Two app, as always. All right, some fantasy awards, Ryan, you ready?
Yep.
All right, the first one I got on here is going to be the biggest non-injury-related disappointment this season. So it can't be someone that was hurt all year, or in case of Le'Veon Bell, you know, basically didn't play all year. Who is your biggest disappointment for someone that played most of the season?
I want to say thanks for making sure that the saying that it was non-injury-related, because that drives me crazy when people complain about oh, this guy sucked because he was injured. I think one of the biggest ones for me is because I was a huge truth on the guys, Jordan Howard, man. I just don't think he fits that offense because he was really good a couple of years ago. But he had, what, he had 770 yards and 6 touchdowns. He had a rough year, man. And I hated seeing it. I want to see him leave that team.
Yep.
But he was a huge disappointment for going to the third, fourth round of drafts.
Yeah, I agree. I think Jordan Howard was one of the guys that I was on, too. I just didn't think Tarik Cohen would be the Alvin Kamara light that he's kind of become. I thought he was more just a gadget player, but he proved this year that he definitely was not that. He's a little more explosive and exciting than I thought he would be. So Jordan Howard has kind of taken a back seat to that, sort of the same role that Mark Ingram plays on a less, you know, productive offense. So that kind of hurts his production overall. My biggest disappointment, and I'm going straight to the top with this one, well, top five at least, and that's David Johnson. I think if you drafted him, you probably got him, you know, number 3 or number 4 overall. If you look at his numbers and just, you know, ignore the name, you probably think, okay, this guy was, you know, decent. You know, he had some decent numbers. But when you factor in the fact that you probably got him as your 3rd overall pick, he killed your fantasy season this year, I think. I don't think that you got your return on investment with David Johnson this year, and he's my biggest disappointment. What do you think of Johnson this year?
I'm not as disappointed with David Johnson. I didn't have any David Johnson shares this year. I had him as my running back 4 to start the season. But, I mean, he still finished running RB11. He's still an RB1. It wasn't, I'm winning you a championship performance by any means, but he still finished as an RB1. What more are you going to ask for? They're in top 12 performance on a shit show of an offense.
Yep. And we lost connection once again. Ugh, this is killing me. I don't know what's going on. It was good the other day.
Change the internet?
No, I haven't changed anything. I don't know what's going on. It was like, now I can't even get on at all.
All right. We good now?
Not yet. Still waiting. It's not letting me connect. It's killing me. All right. And we're back once again. Unfortunately, lost connection once more. This has been killing me. I thought I had all these issues fixed already. We had 3 straight shows with no disruptions, and now we've got 5 in the same show, making up for lost time, I guess.
Sorry, guys. Yeah, like I said, I don't think I was disappointed in David Johnson's year just because of where he finished at 11. It wasn't pretty, but it was like consistently startable. Like, he was right at that bottom end RB1 range.
Yeah, I suppose.
Your top guy, but...
When you look around at the other players that drafted around him, you look at, like, you know, Todd Gurley, Alvin Kamara, Saquon Barkley was in that range, Ezekiel Elliott, you know, all those guys have had monster seasons and now are probably leading yourself to the championship game. You got David Johnson, you got the bottom of the barrel of those top 5 to 10 guys, and I just think that, to me, that was just, I mean, I had him in 2 leagues and I didn't make the playoffs in either one of them, and it was because of him, more or less.
Oh, poor guy. talking David Johnson, not you. Being there. All right, next up, we got the biggest surprise.
Biggest surprise this year for me, and I had it written down, and now, obviously, this is an easy one for me. Patrick Mahomes. I mean, no one thought he'd be this good. I mean, maybe you thought he'd be a QB1 just because based on volume and that offense that he was in, but no one thought he'd be the QB1 overall. I just think that guy came out of nowhere, and I think that he's kind of proved that it's going to be sustainable because he's done it all season. Hasn't had too many hiccups, even against some good defenses, still played really well. So it's Patrick Mahomes for me.
Yeah, I love Mahomes coming into the year. I didn't think he was going to be that good. I had a ton of shares of him everywhere. I was actually going to look up where I had him ranked at before the season. But I think mine was Philip Lindsay.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I still don't think I believed in him until like a week ago. Like, it's just... He's been unbelievable. He finished in the top 12, or just outside of the top 12, and nobody even knew who he was before the season started.
Undrafted.
He was undrafted. He was an afterthought to Royce Freeman, who I drafted in 4th round, 5th round, Scott Fishbowl, and a couple other places.
Yep.
Hugely disappointed. But Lindsay shocked everybody, man. Like, I think he's the biggest surprise by far.
Yeah, that's a good one. I do like that one a lot. And I think he was the first undrafted rookie to make the Pro Bowl. He actually made the Pro Bowl this year, so
pretty that's impressive. Awesome. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he made.
I realized that.
Yep, first undrafted rookie to make the Pro Bowl in his first season. So yeah, good stuff there. All right. The next one I got is the best QB this year based on ADP. So, I mean, not just the best guy who had the most points, but considering where you had to draft him, who do you think the best QB was for ADP?
Can we just skip Patrick Mahomes? Because
that one's easy, right?
It's too easy.
All right, let's do best QB not named Patrick Mahomes based on ADP. Because, yeah, that was probably the easiest one there.
Yeah, it sounded like, dude, that's incredible. Like, he just killed everything. This one's going to be funny. It's Josh Allen, man.
Josh Allen, nice.
Like, no, it was a late start, obviously. He didn't do anything for you, but he went from waiver wire streaming desperation to weekly 18 to 25 points.
Yep. Yeah.
So that's my QB late MVP. Probably go with Andrew Luck, too. Actually, Andrew Luck probably makes the most sense because he was, what, finished top five, and he was dropping everywhere because no one trusted his health.
Yeah, I'm trying to look up ADP right now on Andrew Luck because that's who I have, too. Andrew Luck was mine, like I said earlier.
I actually have ADPs brought up.
Okay, I'm trying to find them here. I'm just not seeing them anywhere on here.
QB9.
QB9, yep, that's what I got as well. So QB9
on ADP
ends up at number five. And really, that QB9 seems awfully high to me because he didn't go QB9 in any of the leagues that I drafted in. I mean, he was going, like, super late. Just some of the guys that were going above him. I saw Ben Roethlisberger going above him. Jimmy G got drafted a lot higher than him. Phillip Rivers was getting drafted higher than him in the leagues that I was in. Jared Goff was. So I think in my leagues, at least, he was going like QB 12 or QB 13, and I was getting him everywhere.
Yeah.
All right, sticking with that same theme, we're going to go with best running back based on ADP. Who you got?
I'm gonna say Joe Mixon. He's finished at, or not finished, or right now he's sitting at RB 10. He was going late second round, early third. And he was one of my guys before the season. We've had many debates before the season started about him. And he was a horse for them. And if that offense improves at all, man, he's on a skyrocket on my draft board.
Yep, agreed 100% there. I think that I would kind of lean towards James Conner, only because he wasn't drafted really at all. But I'm going to kind of limit that one because of the Le'Veon Bell situation. We didn't really know that he was going to be out until the last minute. So if we're going with strict ADP, I'm going to go with Chris Carson. I think everyone expected Rashad Penny to be the guy there. I think Chris Carson was slipping in drafts. It wasn't until like 2 weeks before the season started that they even said he was going to be the starter. And Chris Carson has come out, and the Seattle Seahawks have one of the top rushing offenses in the league, and it's led mostly by Chris Carson. I don't know where he's finished. Do you have it pulled up? Where is he at right now as far as the rankings?
Chris Carson? I'll bring it up. He is RB23,
and he was drafted, I mean, late. He was going, I don't even know where he was.
Close, like, undrafted.
He was undrafted?
He was going close to it. I'll find him now. But
yeah, he was going close to undrafted. I think Rashad Penny was the one everyone was trying to jump on, and Penny has done nothing, and Chris Carson's the big reason why. He's just looked awesome all year.
Yeah. Nick Chubb's another guy who just outperformed a lot.
Yeah, I just think with Nick Chubb, it's been sort of half a season. I think if you had him early on, I don't think you were happy with his production because he had Carlos Hyde in front of him. It wasn't until, you know, midway through the season that he started to really step up.
Yeah, RB32. So actually Carson and Penny were back-to-back for their ADPs.
Oh, wow.
Jamal Williams was a spot ahead of him, just in case you guys are curious.
Definitely prefer Carson over Jamal Williams, that's for sure.
Oh, God, Tevin Coleman was above him, Rex Burkhead.
Ugh.
Yeah,
and Tevin Coleman wasn't the number one running back then. I mean, he was still playing behind Devonta Freeman. It wasn't until the injury that he got the full position. So, yeah.
Yeah. And
people were drafting a backup before him.
He was almost one of my biggest letdowns of the year.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's go receiver. Based on ADP, who is your best wide receiver based on ADP this year?
Best wide receiver based off of ADP? Robert Woods, man, finished in the top 10. I'm going to put on his ADP, but he's been fantastic. And, like, everybody kind of slept on him because they thought it was just him spreading the ball around. And Brandon Cooks came in. He I think, outperformed his ADP as well, but Robert Woods was going late, man.
Yeah, I think the 32, wide receiver 32 is what I got him at on Fantasy Pros. So, yeah, that's
so late. So we're talking wide receiver 32. Like, what is Evan Round listed there?
Let's see. I lost him now. It doesn't say Round on here, unfortunately.
Yeah, that's so late.
That's though. Yeah, wide receiver 3, basically, and he's been a wide receiver 1 pretty much all season.
He went behind Edelman. He's right from Pierre Garçon, Will Fuller.
Crabtree drafted before him. Goodwin Crabtree. Drafted before him. Corey Davis was drafted before him. So, yeah, these are all guys you would definitely don't want.
Yep.
So, I agree. I think that's a good pick there. I was kind of looking in here to see if I could find, because I actually didn't have one written down here for some reason. So I was trying to find mine really quick while you were talking, and I'm not coming up with a good one here. Sorry, this is bad radio right now. Actually, you know who I'm going to go with? And I know he was drafted kind of high, but I was real down on him. And I know he wasn't going super low in drafts, but Amari Cooper. Obviously, we didn't know he'd be traded to the Cowboys in the middle of the season, so that kind of plays into it a little bit. He was picked to be one of the top receivers because of Jay Gruden's coming in, and they're going to change the offense, and they're going to be amazing. But he surprised the hell out of me, and I think that if you have him and you owned him and you stuck by him when he was with the Raiders, I think he's definitely paying off dividends now for you. He's been so much better with the Cowboys offense. I mean, he's basically a top, 5, 6, 7 receiver right now in the NFL, and I think that Cooper definitely surprised me for sure.
Yeah. Another one I'm going to admit to being completely wrong on was Juju Smith-Schuster.
Oh, yeah.
I had him as a low-end wide receiver, too, and I feel like an ass about it now.
Yeah, he finished, he's
wide receiver 8.
You wrote a whole article on it, I believe, on goingfor2.com.
He was a paragraph in my article on my overrated team. So I was wrong on him. I nailed everybody else. I missed on him, so I apologize.
Yeah, you can't hit them all.
My Steelers hate kicked in too much, but he's been fantastic. He was another one who outperformed a lot.
All right. Wrap up this skill position and go with the best tight end based on ADP.
This one's easy, man. George Kittle.
Yes.
He's been freaking awesome. I have him on like almost every team this year. I had him or Ertz for the only two tight ends I owned.
Yep. Yep.
And Kittle was money. Kittle was part of the 49ers.
Yeah. Kittle was tight end 13, which for tight ends, that's like basically undrafted at that point.
Yeah. And he finished, or he's what now? What, or tight end 3?
2 or 3, yeah. After that big 200-yard game, I think he jumped up a couple spots. Him and Ebron were kind of neck and neck there for a while.
Ebron's another one who way performed his ADP.
Yeah, which you called that one.
Ebron?
Yeah, you called that one. I'll eat some crow on that one because I definitely was not on the Ebron train.
Dude, my thing with Ebron, and this is a lot, people are too quick to call players busts, especially when they're drafted as young as he was. He was 20 or 21 when he got drafted, and tight ends don't break out till late.
That's true. Yep, and you did say that.
People just need to have patience with players.
I just saw him drop way too many. He would drop way too many touchdowns, and I had him on my team, and it pissed me off. So that's why I was definitely down on Eric Ebron.
Yeah, Kittle's 3, Ebron's 4.
Nice.
Yeah, and then it's a huge drop off after 5.
Yeah, you basically after that it's a desolate area.
Yeah.
All right. Next award we're giving out is the best waiver wire pickup this year.
I mean, no one of these guys we've brought up before, right? So let's say Josh Allen be that guy or Philip Lindsay, but who do you have for that one?
I'm going with James Conner. I mean, I know it was, Le'Veon Bell kind of driven, but I think people that picked up James Conner thought it'd be temporary. They thought they'd have him for a few weeks. Bell would finally be back, week 3, week 4, week 5, and it just kept going on, and James Conner just kind of put those Le'Veon Bell things to rest. Just said, you know what, we don't need Bell. And I think if you picked up James Conner, there's a good chance you're probably in the championship game this year, because that means you probably got 2 studs in the first and second round, and then you got James Conner off your waiver wire. You were probably pretty set for most of the season. So I think that he is my pick for the best waiver wire pickup.
Yeah, unless it was a free agent. Or I'm sorry, unless you took Bell in the first round. God, my brain. I think mine's James White. He went undrafted in a lot of leagues because they got Sonny Michel. They had Rex Burkhead.
Yep.
James White's super boring. And he's finishing as a top 12 running back. And he was 117 in draft. So he was a free agent. So he was a free agent in a lot of places, man.
Yeah, agreed. I think that he definitely surprised, especially with the Sonny Michel thing there. I think that he was definitely one that went under the radar.
Yeah, he was. He finished. He was awesome, especially in PPR leagues.
All right, who's your prediction? I know every year they do this thing where they, you know, give the player with the highest ownership percentage in all championship winning teams. Who is your player this year that's going to be the highest owned? I think last year I believe it was Alvin Kamara because you know he went undrafted basically. Who is your pick this year for the highest owned player on championship teams?
I'm going to say actually two guys who I have on both of mine, Patrick Mahomes and George Kittle.
Yeah,
that's dope. Because the difference between them at their positions and how late they went in drafts is just staggering, man.
Yep.
Mahomes was going QB like 15.
Yep.
And he's QB one by a ton. And George Kittle, like we said earlier, he's going 13th and at the most miserable position I've ever remembered. He's doing great.
Yep. Yep. I agree with both of those. Let's see. Who did I have on this? I had James Conner. He was my pick. I think that he was basically an RB1 up until he got hurt a few weeks ago. And I think that if you had him, there's a good chance you had trying to think what possibility you could have. Like, you could probably have like Melvin Gordon, Christian McCaffrey, and then could have added like James Conner. I think that would be a viable, you know, situation where you have two of those guys, or even if you threw in like trying to think who else went late. DeAndre Hopkins went late first round. You could have him and Melvin Gordon and then James Conner. So I think that he will be the one that was owned in most. Now, hopefully he gets back in time, which doesn't seem like he will, to help you win the championship. But hopefully you got Jalen Samuels, he's been pretty good the past couple weeks as well. But I think James Conner, as long as he wasn't dropped, will end up being the highest owned player for championship teams.
Yeah, he's going to be on a lot.
All right.
Last one we have, fantasy MVP.
Fantasy MVP. If you would have asked this question to me about 2 weeks ago, it would have been hands down Todd Gurley. And I still think I'm going to go with Todd Gurley, but it's a lot closer now than it was a couple weeks ago. And I think that, you know, guys like Saquon Barkley would be in the mix. Christian McCaffrey would be in the mix. But I think it's going to be Gurley, drafted number one overall, consensus number one overall. You know, had the most touchdowns in the league. You know, he was just a monster all year, and it's probably the reason why people are in championship games this year is because of Todd Gurley.
I'm actually knocking on Todd Gurley just because of I'm taking ADP into a little bit. It's Christian McCaffrey, man. He only finished with 22 points less than Gurley, and he has been everything to that team, and he's third overall, and that's behind Gurley and Mahomes. Like, if you got McCaffrey in the second round, and he was going even in like early drafts, going even later than that, that's money. You win a championship getting a guy like that in the second round. And his volume is just unbelievable with what he does in the receiving game.
Yeah, I think he's on pace to break a record for most receptions for a running back, I believe. I believe he has 90-something, or he's at 100-and-something right now.
He's at 94 right now on 110 targets.
Yeah, I think that he can break that record for sure. There's, what, two games left? Yeah, I think he gets that record. Yeah.
I mean, 979, he might get, he could get 1,000.
Is he close to that?
It'd be tight. He'll definitely get rushing. He's at 979 rushing.
Oh, yeah, he'll get that probably this next game.
Only on 194 carries, mind you. And then 768 receiving.
Yeah, that'd be tough to get that last one. But he'll get close. Maybe next year he can push for that one.
In a 50-yard touchdown pass.
Yeah, exactly. That was awesome last week. I thought for sure I'd win my game when I saw that happen. And then, of course, Cam Newton happened. All right, let's do a quick first-round draft. We'll do 12 picks for 2019. Obviously, super early. Things can change, but if we were going to draft our team, our redraft team for next year, PPR, I'll let you start first. Who are you picking number one overall?
Todd Gurley.
Crazy.
I don't know how you don't take Todd Gurley. 2 years in a row, you don't have anything to prove to me.
Yep, I agree. That would be my pick as well. It'd be Todd Gurley at number one. Number two is a little bit more tricky for me because there is a couple guys here that you could probably go with. I think I'm leading Christian McCaffrey, but I wouldn't fault you for going to Saquon Barkley or Ezekiel Elliott. I just like McCaffrey's floor. I think he gets, you know, a ton of receptions in that offense. The reason I don't like Barkley as much is the uncertainty of Eli Manning and will he be there next year and will he be any good next year. And that whole offense is pretty terrible. The whole team is not that great. Panthers are a pretty decent team. They got a good defense. They're not changing their quarterback or their coaches or anything like the Giants could be. So I think that Christian McCaffrey is a little bit safer for me at this point in the season. And I'll go with him at number two.
I'll take my number three, who I'd take it to, is Saquon. He's unbelievable, man. He's breaking all kinds of records. He's at 1,800 total yards on a terrible offense. And you mentioned about, like, losing Eli or we don't know who the quarterback is. How much worse are you going to get than Eli was this year?
Good point.
You have a healthy OBJ. Ingram will be back healthy next year. Talented offense. And hopefully it can only go up from there. So I'm taking Barkley.
Yeah, like I said, I couldn't fault you either way. I think those are going to be a toss-up. I think that both guys are really good. All right, so my pick, we are at number three. No, we're at number four, right?
Four.
So my fourth pick, it would be Ezekiel Elliott. I think this year he got involved more in the passing game. I believe he has the most touches in the NFL right now over anybody. And he makes that offense go. So I think that he's just a monster, and they're not going to go away from him. I think Ezekiel Elliott, with his involvement now in the passing game, makes him even more viable. And it's Ezekiel Elliott for me at number four.
368 touches, as long as my math isn't purely terrible. 286. If that volume continues and that offense gets better, they pick up another receiver, their offensive line gets healthy, he could just skyrocket back up. His touchdowns were bad this year, man. He had 6 rushing touchdowns.
Yep.
That's the only difference between him and Gurley is there's 11 touchdowns. He has more yards rushing and only like 30 less receiving.
Yep. He's been great. I mean, he's been everything you hoped that when you drafted him. I think even been more because of his involvement in the passing game. So, yeah, Ezekiel Elliott for me. All right, number five, who you got?
I think at five, I'm going to be taking Kamara. He's too electric not to do that, and I don't think Ingram's going to be there next year.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think,
especially if Ingram's not there next year, I think his carries go up, and he's great. Like, and he doesn't even need the volume to be good.
Yeah.
So I think Kamara, even though he's been a little bit of a letdown recently.
Yeah, no, I think I go with Kamara as well. And that offense, it would be just, you know, hard to pass up that guy. My pick for my – so what are we on, six now? I'm losing track. Yeah. Number six, I'm taking Melvin Gordon. I mean, other than his injury this year, I think that he was, you know, way more than you expected. He was pretty much on pace to, you know, match those top guys, you know, Gurley and McCaffrey. He was getting touchdowns in the passing game, touchdowns in the running game. I'm trying to look and see. He's got 9 touchdowns rushing, and he's got 4 through the air. And that's with missing the last 2 games. So I think Melvin Gordon would be my pick at 6.
Can't get wrong there. Finally going to break the running back streak and take DeAndre Hopkins. He's as consistent as can be. He's not my favorite receiver. I don't think he's the best receiver, but he's so consistent. I feel comfortable with him. I know you're going to get 1,400, 1,500 yards, double-digit touchdowns. That offense is getting healthy. Maybe they add another playmaker at running back to help him out even more. But he's money. Doesn't matter who's there. Watson has eyes for him.
Yep, I agree there. I think Hopkins is the only one that I want at that pick. I know in the past it's always been Antonio Brown, but with the emergence of Juju, I don't know if I like him quite as much. I think he slipped a little bit in drafts. And I'm going to go off the rails a little bit here and maybe even surprise you at number eight. I'm going to go with Joe Mixon here at number eight.
Yeah!
I know I was down on him coming into the season. Me and you got into a little bit back and forth on him. I wasn't as high on him. I actually did a whole debate article on Fantasy Pros sort of debating against him and why he'd be good this year. But, I mean, let's face it. He's been playing on a pretty bad team all year. He's got tons of usage both in the passing game and the running game. you know, if that offense can do anything to get better, if Dalton comes back and Green comes back and they're a decent offense again, or maybe they replace Dalton with a better QB this year. I actually have in my bold predictions a quarterback that might be going there this year, but I'm going to leave that one to for you to read. But yeah, I think Mixon is definitely going to be that quarter, that running back that I want at number eight.
I project him as an RB1 this year too, by the way. I'm going to take between two guys on this one, but I'm going OBJ. He's had a rough year. He's been banged up and beat up the whole season, but he's still a 1,000-yard receiver and 6 touchdowns on the worst season of his career.
Yep.
He's never failed to hit 1,300 yards. You know what? He has 2 games left. I bet he does this year. So taking OBJ. I've thought about him instead of Hopkins earlier.
Yeah, he'd be the only one I would put up in there as well. I don't know. I'm not big on taking receivers in the first round. Obviously, I said earlier that the one team I drafted receivers in the first round is the one team I'm in the championship on. So maybe I have to change that philosophy a little bit. But yeah, I don't mind OBJ at that pick either. At pick number 10, I'm trying to decide if I want to break my running back streak here and go with the receiver or if I want to stick with the running backs. And you know what? I think I'm going to go with the running backs. And I'm going to go with someone that maybe not anybody thinks is going to be a good first-round pick. But with his decreased value that we've sort of seen this year, I'm going to go with David Johnson right here at this pick. I think Johnson has a bounce-back season. I think that that offense will be better next year. They will find some way, somehow, to get Johnson the ball. We've seen him before be a good running back on a bad team. I just think this team was just so bad that they just couldn't get him the ball enough. And I think he gets a bounce back season at number 10 in the first round for a guy that's been, you know, basically top 3 most of his career. Give me David Johnson.
Nice. That's who I was debating with OBJ there. Next one is wide receiver 1 this year, Devontae Adams. We saw what he could do with healthy Aaron Rodgers and in Aaron Rodgers' bad season. He had 100 receptions. He has 1,315 yards and 12 touchdowns. And
he's a beast.
It's every week, man. He's pure money. I don't care if Aaron Rodgers is having a bad year. He's still one of the top 3 quarterbacks in the league. And we're talking the worst week Devontae Adams had this year was 16 points.
Yeah, you can't beat that.
He's been nothing but money. I have no problem taking him next year. And come the season, he'll be up there with those other two receivers for me. It's going to be close.
Yep. And before I get to my pick here, we got a question on Facebook from T-Bone again. So he can keep 2 next year. So these are the guys that he can keep 2 from. This is some tough choices here. Patrick Mahomes, Alvin Kamara, Mike Thomas, or James Conner. Keep 2.
I'm keeping the Saints guys.
So you're going to...
Clark, Michael Thomas.
No Mahomes? You're just going to go to get a new quarterback?
I am, because... He didn't say anything about like losing round picks. If we're talking in a vacuum and ADPs in effect, I'm still not. I don't care how good Mahomes is. It's a quarterback. I'm not going to take quarterback for the 6th round. And if I can load up on skill position players, especially a 1st round guy in Kamara and a borderline 1st round guy in Michael Thomas.
Yeah, I think I'm with you. I think that's what I'm going with as well. Because like you said, I'm not high on having quarterbacks, you know, in the 1st round, 2nd round, 3rd round, and Mahomes is kind of that guy. I think that the difference in quarterbacks from number 1 to number 10 isn't quite as great as going with a receiver or running back from 1 to 10. So
it's not at all. It's crazy.
It's crazy how much difference it is. It's not at all the quarterback situation. I think you can get a quarterback in a late round there, but you're not going to be able to replace Kamara and Mike Thomas's production. So there you go, T-Bone. Kamara and Mike Thomas are your keepers for next year. All right, we're on pick number 12, right?
Yep, you're up. Last pick.
All right, last pick of the first round. I'm going to go with a guy that's had a sort of a second half breakout. I wish he was involved a little bit more in the passing game, but I think next year he will be. And that's Nick Chubb. I think Nick Chubb has shown us that he has the volume. He's getting the volume in the running game, and we saw that he can catch the ball. I mean, he had that one, you know, crazy Randy Moss-ish sort of catch in the end zone where he just basically punked the DB. I think he can be a receiver, but they're trying to find ways to use Duke Johnson. But I think next year it'll be the Nick Chubb show, and I think that he is going to be an RB1 next year 100%.
I thought you were going Derrick Henry.
No. He had a second half breakout, but I'm not really to put that up there.
Real quick, where it kind of goes with T-Bone's question, made it pop in my head. Where do you think you're going to view James Conner next year?
James Conner, it's tough because the Jalen Samuels situation kind of puts a kink in that. I mean, the Steelers haven't been a team that have used committees in the past. They've always had that number one guy, and they just had the a few guys just backing up their number one. But with the way Samuels has been playing, there's a possibility that Conner could sort of cut into that workload. But I still think he's a top of the second round guy at the worst. I think he could go in the first round. You could probably convince me over like David Johnson or something. But I think James Conner, I think, is at least top of the second round next year.
Okay, I was thinking top of third.
That low.
I don't trust it, and I don't even know if the starter for the Steelers is going to be on the team next year. There's a bold prediction for your article.
That's a good one, actually.
I actually traded James Conner for David Johnson straight up in my dynasty league.
Oh, all right. So you would take David Johnson in the first round over James Conner. So you think he would really fall to the third round?
Dude, there's so many good players, man.
Yeah, there really is. There's a lot of receivers.
I mean, everyone we named, we got like Michael Thomas still there, Juju, Antonio Brown.
Adam Thielen still there.
Thielen. People still love Diggs.
Julio Jones is still there.
Mike Evans is unbelievable this year. Julio.
Yeah.
Dalvin Cook.
I think just the running back sort of love makes him a second round pick. I think if we were to just sort of look at end of the year fantasy stats, maybe the receivers would be better off. But I think with just the running backs and how scarce they can be, I think he's a second round pick. Maybe he goes late second round. I think Dalvin Cook went late second round last year. I think he may fall into that sort of Dalvin Cook-ish range.
I think we're going to see a return to zero RB next year really heavily in drafts.
Like I said, the one team that I made champion, I was in 10 leagues, and I'm in one championship game, and it was the one that I went zero RB, and I got Devontae Adams and DeAndre Hopkins. So who knows? Maybe next year I'll do a little bit more of it. Definitely won't do no 10 teams next year, though.
No.
All right, man, that wraps the show up. Sorry for all the connection issues. I need to get that fixed. I thought I had it fixed, and once again, it rears its ugly head. But let's go ahead, Ryan. Tell us where we can follow you on Twitter.
Follow me on Twitter at FantasyFBConnect. I'm going to be putting out a ton of draft stuff. I'm trying to post videos and stuff this year. I have my top 10 receivers pinned right now. Please take a look. Talk some shit. I know you all hate it. It's awesome. But find me there. You'll be able to find me here on the Good Over 2 podcast and talk to Dynasty for the next, I don't know, 6 months, eight
yep.
months.
Yep.
I'm excited.
Good stuff. And like I said, guys, this will be the last show of 2018. Our next show will be in 2019, and we're going to be moving from Tuesdays to Fridays. And it'll be all Dynasty from here on out. Obviously, this season's over with. So we'll be talking Dynasty, looking at all the rookies coming into the league, any guys that are sort of sleepers that are in the league now that might have breakout seasons next year. So definitely check that out, especially if you're in Dynasty leagues. And if you aren't, you need to get into a Dynasty league because they're the best fantasy football out there. I love my Dynasty league, and I wouldn't give up for anything. So with that said, guys, let's have a good championship week. Peace.
Peace.